Perhaps you have heard it said that direction determines destination. If we desire to reach a certain destination, then you have to choose the proper direction to ensure reaching that destination. That is certainly true in the sense of travel physically. It is also true as we travel our spiritual pathway. If you and I are going to come to the proper conclusions of life and follow the pathway that God has intended for us, then you and I must be willing to choose to follow His prescribed directions. These directions, we know, are recorded for us within the pages of God's holy word that were preserved for you and me. And in it, we find many exhortations to carefully choose that right path, to be careful in our walk. The Bible tells us to see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, to be careful, to be exact, to walk as one wise. The path that you and I choose is important, and it will make all the difference. By the way, within the Word of God, there are 100 different references to our path or our way. God is not silent on the issue and desires that we walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. So take your Bible with me tonight and open with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 tonight. For the next few weeks, we're going to take the time to elevate God's truth, that truth which supplies for us the wisdom that we need to walk according to His way. My heart's desire is simply this, as we come through the end of the study, that we would understand, as Solomon would write in Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Tonight we're going to look at this theme of pursuing wisdom from above. My heart's desire through this short little study that we'll do over the next 3 weeks is that we would understand that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, we will get wisdom, and with all of our getting, we will get understanding. That we would have the ability to walk in wisdom in a way that is pleasing to our God. Proverbs chapter 2, if you would, just follow along as I read the first 5 verses. And then we'll pause and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time. But Solomon writes and says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Would you pray with me, please? Father, tonight as we come to Proverbs chapter 2, as we look at this thought or the theme of pursuing wisdom from above, Lord, you would help us to see, even as we have pointed out tonight, that wisdom is the principal thing. It is this wisdom that causes us to walk in the pathway of your choosing. It is this wisdom that will walk in a way that is pleasing unto you. The world has its path, it has its direction, and broad is that road, and it leads to destruction. But we thank you for the wisdom that is given to us within the Word of God, that we can walk as wise men, carefully, exactly, through the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties of this life, through those things which seek to ensnare us and to destroy us, we can be careful, we can be exact as we walk in wisdom. So help us, Lord, to pursue wisdom as the principal thing. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As you and I come to Proverbs chapter 2 tonight and we begin to seek understanding of the truth that is presented to us, there are 2 thoughts that I want us to note quickly about wisdom from this chapter. In the first five verses of this, we simply find what we'll refer to as the pursuit of wisdom. Solomon is writing to his son, and as the king, he is writing to his son, and he is giving to him the exhortation, pursue after wisdom. If you and I are going to walk in a way of God's blessing, if we're going to reach the right destination of his choosing, then folks, you and I must see and must believe and recognize and desire to pursue wisdom from above. If God has a plan for your life, and he does, and God reveals his will to us through his word, then you and I ought to be elevating the truth of God's word, the truth of scripture within our lives, and therefore we ought to live daily with the desire to pursue wisdom. The counsel that is given to us here is again found in the context of a father's counsel to his son. In the Jewish culture, parents were commanded to teach their children in the ways of wisdom. Now, that's not so much, I think, in some regards, our thought process in our nation today. In fact, if you look at some within our nation, the belief system is simply this, that the person responsible for teaching children is the state. By the way, that's a foolish line of thinking. And the only way that we can really say that that is obvious is just look at the way the state runs. Look at the way government runs. They're clueless on how to run their government. Why should they tell us how to run our families? Okay? But the reality is some parents, even Christian parents, have given up that responsibility to another. Within the Christian circle, we say that belongs to the church. That belongs to the school. That belongs to the youth group or the kids program. They will teach my children wisdom. Yet, folks, you recognize that the scripture says that parents are responsible to teach their children the ways of wisdom. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that exhortation is given clearly to the Jewish families and by application to all of us. It is referred to in Jewish culture as the Shema. It is a well-known passage to every Jew. In fact, you might relate the Shema as we might relate to us the Lord's Prayer. There's almost no place you can go within the Christian culture and say, recite with me the Lord's Prayer, and people will be able to get along enough with you to be able to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In the Christian culture, the Lord's Prayer is very familiar. In the Jewish culture, say, recite the Shema, and they're not going to have any problems quoting Deuteronomy 6, that the Lord our God is one Lord. And they're going to go right through the passage which tells those parents, teach them in the ways of wisdom. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk in the way, teach them the ways of wisdom. Here in Proverbs chapter 2, the king is speaking to his son. He is instructing him on the importance of wisdom, that wisdom found in the word of God. And he is saying to him, pursue wisdom. There are two important things that I want you to see with me in this pursuit of wisdom, as we find it in the Word of God. In these five verses, there are several things that I want you to see. The first is this. I want you to see the admonitions to pursue. Over and again in these few verses, it is clear that the writer is instructing, Solomon is instructing his son to pursue fully after wisdom. So look at those five verses, please, and notice what he says. Look at verse 1 and 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. He's going to go on. Yea, if you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Search for her as a hid treasure. The result, you will find the knowledge of God. Look at verse 1 and 2, though, and here's what the writer says in the pursuit of wisdom. First and foremost, folks, you and I ought to be giving our attention to God's word. So he says, my son, receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, incline thine ear to understanding, apply your heart again to that understanding. And so we are called to give attention to God's word. We are to receive his word, incline our ears so that we might hear it when it is spoken. If you and I expect to walk in the right paths of God and live in a way that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, then we have to give attention to his instruction. Yes, we are to give ourselves to reading, but we are to give ourselves to exhortation. We are to give ourselves to memorization. We are to hide God's word within our heart. We are to give our attention to the word of God. Folks, can I say this to you, moms and dads? We need to teach our children not only how to first of all listen and obey their parents and hear their instruction, but by application, we need to teach them to hear God speak to them. We need to get our children to the point that they hear God's instruction in God's word. Remember Samuel for a moment? Samuel's a young boy now brought to live at the temple there with Eli. He was told that he was responsible to minister unto Eli. So if Eli called, he was to answer. And so in the middle of the night, here lies Samuel, and he hears a voice call to him, and he runs to Eli and says, "Yes, Eli? Samuel, I didn't call you." He goes back to bed. Here it happens again. Runs to Eli. "Yes, Eli? Samuel, I didn't call you." Here's the sad part. Four times Samuel heard that voice, and it wasn't until the third time that Eli figured out it was God speaking to that young boy. Remember the message that he gave to Samuel? Anybody remember it? That's what he says. "Speak, Lord, hear my." What message does God now speak to that child, to that young man? I heard rumblings, but nothing clear. What's that? It's an admonition against Eli. He basically tells Samuel, "I'm done with Eli. He has failed me as the high priest. His sons are evil and wicked, and I will judge them." He heard the voice of God. And by the way, he was then obedient to that when Eli said, "So what did God say to you?" Imagine being that kid. "Well, God said, you're done." But Samuel had to hear the voice of God. Mom and Dad, I want to encourage something in you. Yes, I want my kids to hear my voice. And yes, I want them to obey me. But more than that, I want them to hear the voice of God speak. I want them to obey his voice and do as he directs. By the way, believe it or not, he might just direct your kids to ways that you wouldn't expect and you may not counsel. He may want your child to go serve on a foreign field. "Oh, I'm not willing to let my kid go." Do you want him to hear the voice of God or not? And so what we're told here is what Solomon is saying to his son is this: give attention to God's word. Hear him when he speaks. Receive it. Hide it away. Incline your ears to it. Apply your heart that you might understand. Give your attention to God's word. But notice secondly what he says. In verse 3, we are told that we are to pursue his truth with urgency. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." In both of those phrases, there is the concept of urgency. To cry out for knowledge, to lift up the voice for understanding. Think about this by way of example. If you're out in public with someone that you love and they have a medical emergency, what are you going to do? Hey, can someone call 911? Will you do it for me? Anyone? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? Oh, well. I don't think so. I won't demonstrate it tonight. But I'm pretty sure it's going to hit top fever pitch. And there's going to be a call urgently, get me help, and I want it now. Right? That's the urgency to which we are to come after the truth of God's word. Cry after knowledge. Lift your voice for understanding. Urgency. Pursue it with urgency. Then we find in verse 4 that there's a responsibility for us to seek God's truth diligently. Here's what it says. If thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Folks, you and I are supposed to mine the word of God in the same way that we would mine for precious metals. If you received word tonight that on your property there was gold, and all you had to do was dig up your backyard to find it, there's no more lawn, right? And the snow's not going to be a deterrent to you. Frozen ground's not going to be it. You're going to find a way to get in. Why? Because there is gold. There is that which is precious and that which is valuable. If we are mining for gold and we know that that's the end, and in that end we are far richer than we were without it, will there be any trouble in work? Will there be any lack of effort? Will the labor even be considered toilsome? And folks, the answer is no. Do you realize that sitting before you is something of greater value than gold and silver and any precious metal? It's truth. And that truth gives wisdom. That wisdom directs you in the ways of righteousness. That wisdom causes you to be well-pleasing in God's sight. We are to labor, to diligently search. Remember Jacob? Jacob left his home, went to his uncle Laban's house, saw Rachel and said, I want her to be my wife. Laban said, work for me for 7 years. And Jacob said, not a problem. It seemed to him as but a day. 7 years hard labor for the love of his life. On his wedding night, he was tricked, woke up the next morning, and here is Leah. He goes back to Laban and says, give to me Rachel. He says, 7 more years, and it seemed to him as but a day. It wasn't toilsome. It wasn't difficult. It was love. How much love do we have for the Word of God? That truth that gives to us wisdom beyond measure. The writer says, give attention to God's Word. Pursue that truth urgently as if you're mining for hid treasures. Seek it diligently. And here's what God's word says. If you do so, then you will find the knowledge of God. Not only, though, do we see the admonitions to pursue, I want you to know from those same verses the activities that you and I are to use in that pursuit. I'm going to try one more time. There it is. Activities of our pursuit. I want you to look at these same verses and note with me that in those verses are 8 verbs of action, 8 activities that we do in the pursuit of God's word. Look through them with me quickly tonight, and I'll give you some words that you can maybe write down in your Bible with it to kind of give you some help with it. But Solomon writes and said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." The idea there is we are to accept God's word, to receive that which is given, to accept it. It's not enough that we merely hear it or that we just read it. We're to go beyond and to accept it, to receive it to ourselves. We have the blessing of hearing God's word spoken to our hearts through public preaching and through private reading. And in every time that we come to the word of God, we ought to be willing to accept his words, his wisdom presented to us. Second part of verse 1, hide my commandments with thee. The idea of that word there, hide, gives us this concept. We are to attribute worth to the word of God. Again, it's the idea of storing up for the future, to hide God's word in our hearts. Do we do so recognizing that the word of God is really of that much worth? We live our lives, most of us, with the concept of a future. We live with the thoughts of retirement. We set monies aside in store for days to come. We are to be attributing worth to the word of God, that it doesn't come in and just roll right off as if it's of no value, but we accept it, we attribute worth, we store it up for our use and our benefit because it's valuable. Next, we're told to incline thine ears unto wisdom. That means we are to attend unto wisdom. We are to pay attention again to God's word. It's more than just, again, hearing, but giving our attention unto it. We are told then to apply our heart to understanding. There's a need for you and I to make application of God's word, taking that word and make it a part of daily living. I love the way that one old-time preacher and commentator made a point to this. He said, obtaining spiritual wisdom isn't a once-a-week hobby. It is a daily discipline of a lifetime. I love that thought. And I'm glad I'm not the one who's coining that one. That's the one that gets you in trouble. But folks, the word of God is not something that's done once a week, and it's not a hobby. Oh, I went to church, yay. I got all I need. No, sorry. It is a day-to-day habit where we incline our ears, apply our heart. He goes on, we are to cry after knowledge. The idea there is ask. Do you have knowledge? Do you lack it? Do you lack wisdom? Cry out for it. Ask for wisdom. Lift up our voice. That means not just to ask, but to ardently call. We want to ensure that we are going to receive wisdom. Again, there's that idea of the urgency. Then the last two were used together. Seek for her as silver and search for her as a treasure. The idea of both of those words can be summed up in the simple word attempt. Attempt to find it. We are to give diligence until we locate and uncover the treasures of the wisdom of God's truth. What attempts are we making to find wisdom? What effort is being expended towards it? Go to any Christian bookstore through CBD, go online and ask for Bible study resources, and you'll find all kinds of things that say like this: the one-minute Bible, 15 minutes with God, right? As if that's enough. 1 minute with God and the other 23 hours and 59 minutes belong to me. And somehow that's going to be enough for me to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be grounded in the truth so I can go out in love. The 15-minute devotional. A few minutes here, a few minutes there, and you'll be good. Everything's okay. That might be where we start, but it can't be where we end. And the reality is, folks, we are to be giving our efforts. We are to be actively pursuing after wisdom. Why? The rest of Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3, and 4 answer the reason for our pursuit. We're going to look at Proverbs 2 now and see the rest, 3 and 4, the next couple weeks. Okay? Why am I to actively pursue wisdom? In Proverbs 2, what Solomon says is this: when I pursue wisdom and I obtain wisdom, it is wisdom that protects me in life. So I want you to see with me the protection of wisdom. Wisdom received. Wisdom applied. Wisdom used protects me from the evil way. Again, destination is tied to direction. And if we do not wisely choose the right path, righteousness, we will most assuredly find ourselves on the wrong road that leads to our spiritual destruction. Three things that I want you to see quickly about wisdom's protection. First of all, let's look at verse 6 down through verse 9. He says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints." Those three verses, as we talk about the protection of wisdom, tell me this: that in wisdom, it shields me from attack. You and I live our lives in the midst of a spiritual battle. We live on a battlefield. Day in and day out, there is an enemy, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against all of his wiles. And having done all, we stand. And wisdom is a shield that protects us from those attacks. Look again at verse 7. "He layeth up sound wisdom for righteousness. He is a buckler, a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment. He preserves the way of the saint." It is a shield from the attacks of our enemy. God gives to us wisdom. We are to lay it up in store, to use it in order that we might be protected against the wiles of the devil. Folks, is that not the counsel that we are given in God's word in Psalm 119? "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." When Satan came to the Lord Jesus and tempted him to sin and caused him to fall, seeking to thwart the very plan of God's redemption, how did Jesus respond? The word says, the Lord says, God says, Scripture. Why? Because wisdom protects us. It shields us from attack. It is a buckler. Verse 8, again, it tells us that our paths are kept. The way is preserved. That word preserved there means it is watched over, as you and I seek to walk in wisdom and seek to walk in the path of uprightness, God protects, He watches over, He preserves our step. It is the Word of God, that wisdom that counsels us in the way. What a blessing, folks, that is. Sometimes in my own thoughts, when I would process it, and the decision that I might make, I'm going to find that it's pretty easy for me to walk in a path that doesn't really please God. I can easily walk in my flesh according to my own understanding. Not necessarily going to be beneficial for me. Yet when God's word is given, it provides wisdom that reminds me that's not the way of the Lord for me. And therefore, we ought to do all things and run all things through the filter of His truth. Wisdom protects us. It shields us from attack. In verses 10 through 19, what we find is a second thought. Not only does it shield us from attack, but it saves us from atrocious people. There it is. Saves us from atrocious people. Look at verse 10 and read a few verses with me in all of this. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding will keep thee. Again, that thought of protection. What does that do? How does discretion preserve and understanding keep? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of light. God says that wisdom preserves me, it saves me from atrocious people. In fact, we are introduced to two people in the passage. We can call them Mr. Evil and Mrs. Strange. These two, God says that wisdom keeps me from their path. We are kept from their influence of these workers of iniquity. When we allow wisdom to enter into our heart and the knowledge of truth to become pleasant under our souls, discretion keeps me from the evil doer, the evil man, and the strange woman. Wisdom keeps me from them. I want you to notice a couple things about these two people. First of all, notice with me their words. The evil man is known for his froward speech. He is one that speaketh froward things. The idea of that term is that of perversity. The strange woman, in her words, is known for her flattery. We, through wisdom, can avoid both. But I want you to notice something with me. One's a little easier to see than the other. One's overt, the other one's a little subtle. The perversity, that's somewhat overt. It's pretty clear. It's not that hard to see. And yet sometimes still, we're not kept from the way because we're not walking in wisdom. But there is the strange woman who deceives through her flattery, subtle words. Someone's defined flattery well. When they said flattery, by the way, this is one of those ones, again, we need to let it sink in a little bit because it's a good statement and there's a lot of truth to it. Flattery isn't communication, it's manipulation. It is people telling us things about ourselves we enjoy hearing and wish were true. That is a pretty good definition for flattery. It's what I want to hear. Boy, I wish it's true. And someone's willing to tell me, and I buy it hook, line, and sinker. And then I find myself caught, trapped, destroyed. We see their words, but we also see their works. This evil man is said to have crooked ways. Again, he delights in evil. He delights in perversity. He is crooked. He's never straight. Not one to be trusted. The works of the strange woman, we are told, forsake truth. They reject God. And those that follow her do not find life. They find destruction. Hey, mom and dad, the lives of your kids, protect them from evil men and strange women. Protect your boys. Protect your girls. They may not always understand the reasons behind your decisions. They may not like it when you said that once can't be your friend and you can't spend time at their house. And no, you can't spend that night there with them. But folks, I don't care. My job is to protect their heart and to use wisdom to know the difference when there is one who is evil, crooked, and perverse, or one who flatters and seeks to bring destruction to my child. Protect them. Protect yourself in the same way. Wisdom keeps us, saves us from the atrocious people. There's one final thought that we find, and that is wisdom summons us to abide in righteousness. Look at verse 20. Down through verse 22. Wisdom summons us to abide in righteousness, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, to keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. So the author Solomon, the king, says to his son, come after wisdom. Why? Pursue after wisdom. It protects, it shields us from attack, it saves us from atrocious people, and it summons us to abide in righteousness. Give attention to wisdom. Pursue it with all diligence. Allow it to protect you from the evil, from the devil who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Don't forget what his intention is to the righteous. The Lord Jesus said it this way to Peter. He desires to sift you as wheat. His desire is to grind you down to absolutely nothing and literally destroy your life. But I have prayed that your faith fail not. Peter failed, but not his faith. In the end, Peter remained true. God has promised, though, through wisdom to preserve those that walk in wisdom, who walk that narrow road that leads to life eternal. Destination determines direction, and the directions are important. Let me just say this to us as a word of caution. Be careful, please, of the source of your directions. Not everything in the name of Christianity is Christian, nor is it biblical. So be careful of the source of those directions. If we get our directions from an incorrect source, we might think we're heading in the right direction, until we finally begin to figure out, after it's a little too late, I've gone way out of my way to not even find myself where I should be. There's been several times with a GPS system, you punch in an address, you start heading out, and my wife will look at me and say, what's wrong? And I say, I know that this says that way. But I'm pretty good with directions, and it just would seem to make sense that I need to be going that way. So you stop, you take it off, you redirect it, and all of a sudden you turn around. Oops. It got messed up along the way, and I was going the wrong way. Wasn't going in the right path. Just because someone says that it's Christian counsel doesn't mean it always is. Bring it back to the Word of God, the source of all wisdom. Check it according to the truth, that we might not miss out. God has given us all that we need in His Word. It is the source of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So accept it, attribute to it great worth, attend unto it, apply it to your daily living, ask for it when it is needed, do so ardently, and make every attempt to locate it and uncover it. Again, we would be wise to follow the counsel of the Apostle Paul and heed his warning, Colossians 2 and verse 8. And there we're told, beware, lest any man spoil you for philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Solomon writes to his son and says, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. With all of your getting, get understanding. Pursue it with all of your heart, because it is wisdom that protects the soul. It's wisdom that's going to protect your family. It's wisdom, mom and dad, that protects the lives of those little ones entrusted to your care. Grandparents, it's wisdom that protects those that you love so deeply. What do we need? Wisdom. And so we're told in the first five verses, pursue wisdom from above. I trust that we'll take such an admonition tonight from God's word and apply it even to our hearts and lives. Let's pray together, please. Father, again, we thank you for the time that we've been given, the blessing and joy to be able to look at the truth of your word and learn from it. What a blessing it is to know that we can have wisdom from above, that wisdom which is found for us within the word of God, that wisdom that protects us. It saves us from the attacks of the devil. It protects us and saves us from those atrocious people, that evil man and that strange woman that seek to lure us away from the truth, which want to lure us away from our God, which want to bring us down a path that only leads to destruction of soul. So help us, Lord, to follow the summons and the call that we would abide with righteousness as we seek wisdom with all of our heart. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. We commit it all now to you in Jesus' name. Amen.